Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show, sponsored by Barclays. For further information, please visit abnormallyfunnypeople.com. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Abnormally Funny People podcast. I'm Steve Best.
Hello, and I'm Simon Minty. How are you, Steve?
I'm very well, thank you, Mr. Minty. How are you?
Good, thank you.
The Bugbuster is gone.
The competition prize.
Exactly that, the Bugbuster.
Fantastic. Who won it?
Dave from Preston. He wrote in to say he wanted the Bugbuster because he currently uses a specific plastic cup and a piece of paper to catch spiders. He said no one else in the house knows, and he's paranoid one day he'll have to drink from it or he'll have to come clean.
Fair enough. Good reason. Congratulations, Dave. The Bugbuster is on its way.
And the self-stirring mug and the bracelet buddy has gone too.
You're joking me. Three of them all gone?
Yeah, all three gone. So Katie has the self-stirring mug. The bracelet buddy goes to Elizabeth.
Well, big congratulations to all our three winners. The products will be on their way to you as soon as we can after the show. As well as the competition winners, we are getting feedback, which is lovely. I've had a note from someone in Chicago who's listening. I ran a training course this week and a couple of people came up to me and said, we love the show. Can you make it a bit shorter, though? That's kind of them, although they might be right.
Yeah.
And we're sort of getting, I got an email from a sort of, there's a new phone. It's a smartphone for people who have no movement. So you can use the phone, but just with movement of your head rather than having to touch it.
That's great.
And they're looking for crowdfunding to take that off. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, so it's not out yet, the phone?
Or no, they're looking for funding. It's called the Sesame Touch-Free Smartphone. It's getting quite a little bit of publicity.
Maybe when it comes out, we'll review it.
Very good idea.
Thank you very much.
Like
so,
it.
If you want to contact us, go to abnormallyfunnypeople.com.
And you can subscribe to the show there, you can stream it, and we have a transcription of the whole conversation too.
So this month's show, the guests, who have we got this time?
I think it's going to be a belter. I shouldn't always say that, but we have two lovely people with opinions galore.
And I've met them both before, and one of them only once, I think that is it.
There's Liam O'Carroll. He's the actor and comedian.
He's the one I've met many a time before. And he's been on the podcast, I think it was on the first show.
He was, indeed. Lara Masters is our second guest. She's a blogger, she's a model. Not technically a comedian, but she's a big supporter of Abnormally Funny People. Come to loads of our shows.
That's the most important thing. And she's the one I've met just the once, I think many years ago in Edinburgh.
Yeah. We'll see.
Welcome to our guests on this month's Abnormally Funny People show. First up is Lara Masters.
Hello.
Hello, Lara Masters. Lara is a freelance writer, actress and presenter. You're a judge on television's Britain's Missing Top Model.
I was.
Is that right?
Yes.
And do you remember we met many years ago in Edinburgh?
No,
you don't, do you?
I don't remember.
That's all right.
That's not you. I've got a thing. I've got that thing with the brain where you don't remember faces.
Yeah.
It's hereditary. My mum has it too.
I remember faces, but I don't remember names.
I remember your name.
Is that a new, new disability thing going on there?
I've always had it. I can't. My mum has it. I have it. It's really embarrassing. Let's say it's part of the disability, though. Yeah.
So how do you get around it? Do you write people's faces down on your hand? Or?
How does that work?
Well, so you can constantly glance at it.
You just heard another voice there. That was from Liam O'Carroll. Liam is an actor, he's a stand-up comedian, and Liam's appeared on Father Ted, and recently Friday Night Dinner, where you played the most sarcastic piano tuner who is blind in the world. Is that your role?
That's right, yeah, Mr. Greencock.
Did you enjoy that?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. Making it was quite fun too.
Because?
It was work. it was very well paid work. They either look after you in television, they stuff you full of food.
It's great. It's great to have you both on the show. Let's kick off with the moment of the month. We have a moment of the month. Liam, have you got a moment of the month?
I have, yes. I was spending some time in a rural part of England in the last month with some friends of ours, and we thought we'd drive and visit this pub. And in the upstairs room of the pub, there appeared to be some kind of little singing club going on, little folk singing group in there. And we thought, we'll join in. And I went along with this with some trepidation. As we entered the room, people saying, oh, they were very welcoming. They said, oh, come in, join us, sit down. And as we got nearer, there was me, you know, with the old white cane and everything. And the guy said, oh, that's a long flute. And then I took a couple more steps nearer, and then he goes, oh. So we then sat down and watched as they all sang their folk songs. And I got a distinct sense that perhaps our presence made them feel self-conscious.
Was it just you as the only blind person, or was there a few of you? Were you...
I was the only blind person surrounded by non-disabs.
Okay. I like the flute thing. This was a genuine mistake, do you think?
Genuine mistake.
They weren't even trying to be witty and do one of those kind of really rubbish disability jokes.
No, not at all. No, I think he thought I was a musician coming to jam with them in the folk
way. It does sound like they were all a bit stoned.
Folk singers. But it doesn't even look like a flute.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are holes in it, as far as I know.
Well, it's got a big bobble on the end as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a big round bobble, big huge bulb-shaped bobble.
Thank you very much, Liam. Enjoy your folk club singing. Lara, do you have a moment of the month?
Yeah, I have a moment of the month. It's a moment of activism. This is how I'm dressing it up. You know, there's been a lot of talk about bums.
On
in
your
the media.
Blog,
yeah. Well, not only in my blog.
Oh, Kim Kardashian's.
Yeah,
bum.
But before Kim Kardashian's new bum shot, there was a lot of. There's been a lot of bum talk.
Is it?
I mean, yeah, bum implants are like the number one thing, apparently, for girls to get. And there's a lot of focus on bums. You
but
know, it used
bum
to be,
implants rather than taking stuff out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Making them big and.
Rounding.
Bootylicious, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, it used to be boobs, and now it's bums. So. Obviously, I'm using a wheelchair and I don't regularly see my bum, so I don't have a big obsession with it. You know, if it's big, it's small, it's whatever shape it is. Mm. Don't have a big obsession because I'm not looking at it every day. Mm. But recently, I did, I do this exercise where instead of using my hoist in the traditional fashion with a sling to get in and out of my wheelchair and off the bed, what I do is hang my legs over the hoist and get my carer to hold my ankles and I hoist myself up to the ceiling and I hang. So I'm basically, I'm doing a handstand without my hands.
So I saw this picture on Facebook.
Yeah, and you can see my bum.
Lovely bum. Yeah. The bit that
Some's
scared
into bums.
The life out of me was, and I think you said it, if someone let go of your legs or they couldn't hold you, you're going to come crashing to the floor.
I would die.
And okay. It must be really worthwhile, this exercise.
It really stretches the spine and it's very relaxing. But what I noticed when I looked at the photo was that I did have a very nice bum.
Oh.
It's quite a surprise.
Oh,
quite
a
surprise. Well, I thought, well, you know what, if you've got it, flaunt it. And as a wheelchair user, you know.
How do you flaunt it?
How do you do that? What can I do? So I immediately put that picture up on Facebook. And I thought
it was. A lot more people are talking about bums now.
Yes, but also. You know, it's a moment of equality because it's a girl in a wheelchair's bum. And how often do you get to admire a girl in a wheelchair? You see, we can't use that in the way other women can. We can't use our bum, you know.
You couldn't get a little cutout at the back of your chair.
Well, and have people lie on the floor.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, I could see it because I'm a bit lower.
Yeah,
others...
you know, you and small children. I mean, I don't know how that would go down.
Like the massage things where you put your
glass.
Face through there. You can put your bum through there and take bum shots.
It'd be so cold. But anyway, so I thought that by putting this picture up was not only... It's funny because I got this reaction, which I didn't expect at all. People were really surprised.
That you had a nice bum.
Yeah. And I thought, well, yes, how would they know? The carpets don't always match the curtains or whatever, however...
There's
that phrase goes.
When the Kim Kardashian went up, and she has an ample bum, and she was, if those haven't seen it, she was balancing a champagne glass on the back, and you know the champagne's going up and over and then landing in it.
Extraordinary.
Where was the bottle?
She's holding the bottle in her hands. And
in her hands, I thought she's like a bicycle. Like she's
really
parked a bicycle.
Taking it down, aren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So
I haven't seen the pictures.
Women who have, or and men who have achondroplasia, which is the most common form of dwarfism.
Gosh, that's such a big word.
Thank you. They have disproportionately bigger bottoms. It's part of the condition. And so Kim Kardashian's bottom, to me, just looked like someone with achondroplasia. Even a friend commented on Facebook, she looks like someone with achondroplasia because of her bum. The tricky bit I have really quite long arms. So whenever I go to conventions and I'm speaking to my friends there, because they have slightly bigger bums, and now I'm at their height, and I've got very long arms. I talk to her, but I'm constantly touching people's bottoms. It's really to the point.
There, good one,
Simon. I like that. That's great.
That is totally playing the disability card.
Isn't it?
Right there.
I spend the whole convention worrying because I go, oh, sorry. No, but I'm not having a squeeze. It's a brush, and it's a constant brush. But it's the complication
of
two...
A brush, a squeeze, you know, potato, potato. Yeah.
No, it's a clumsy fumble.
It's true. And I'm telling you, I don't know if other people are contributing. They have shorter arms, so I don't think they keep touching each other's bottoms. It's my SED, long arms.
Liam just doesn't believe you, do you?
It's true, and it makes me feel generally quite awkward when it happens.
You just have to embrace it.
Steve?
Yes?
Is it time for your... Thank you, Lara. And
very welcome.
I feel we should put a link up to the picture of your bum now, but that may not be appropriate. Steve, best?
You know what, I never get kind of endings to mine, because they're mine are a bit showbizzy, really, in that I'm big time into... I love my magic. I was Young Magician of the Year finalist, 1985, I'll have you know. And I've been in magic ever since. And do you remember Wayne Dobson? Remember Wayne Dobson?
From
80s? 1940s. 80s. Oh, 70s, 80s. He did a show with Linda Lusard talking about bums.
Oh, this is topical. Very topical.
Do you remember her? No. Oh,
yeah. Yes. She was a pastry model.
Yeah, she was, yeah. She did a show. And this last week's been a magic convention, international magic convention, and Wayne Dobson was there. And he's still a very good magician, and he was very funny, and now he's got MS. He's had MS, I think, for 20, 30 years or something. And he hasn't got any use of his arms, but he invents stuff. So he used to do really good sleight of hand, but now his stuff is it's magic. It's great. It's really baffling stuff, but it's all to do with the spectator doing the magic for you.
So is he adapted tricks so people who have limited movement could do magic tricks?
Yes, or he's done it in such a way that the performer, he kind of performs it, but he lets the punter do the trick.
Clever.
Yeah, it's very clever. It's really nice stuff.
Wow. So actually, we'd call it a reasonable adjustment. He's still directing it all, but someone else is doing the physical movement for him.
Yes, and so some of the stuff...
That's quite clever, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, but there's tricks, some of the really baffling tricks as well, very clever.
So did he say, pick a card? No, I'll pick a card. What did he do?
Well, he would say, he would get the deck on the table, and then he'd get the guy, whoever, to pick a card and do a trick with it in some way.
And if someone else with MS... was the punter. What happens then?
This is the way the show's going, I think.
You've got to think it through.
Yeah, you do, actually. I don't know if you saw that bit through.
Thanks, Mr. Best.
And Simon, Minty?
Oh, I've got sort of two or three sort of messy ones, but I've just come from a bit of a posh lunch in a restaurant in Mayfair. I couldn't park, so you know, you do that lap three times trying to find some sort of bay. Couldn't find anywhere, so I knew I was going to get a ticket, even with my blue disabled parking badge.
It's Mayfair, not friendly.
It's horrendous.
They start putting double yellows as well everywhere, I heard, in Mayfair.
If it's Westminster, you can't even do that. Just disable bays. So I came out of the restaurant. The parking ticket was on the windscreen. Unfortunately, it was right in the middle, so I couldn't reach it. So I had to get someone else. And I said, I really don't want this, but can you pass it to me? And he went, well, yeah, but I didn't give it to you. So that was nice. Then the concierge or the porter at the front of the hotel came up and said, I didn't know, we could have parked your car somewhere else. And I'm thinking... love that idea. Like, there's a, I don't know, valet service. Then I sort of said, but could you drive my car? Because it's all adapted for me. Oh, no.
Oh,
anyway, that wasn't it. There was just that little bit. But then I went downstairs for the loo. And I went in the sit-down one because they had those little urinals on the wall, which you can't reach. And as I was washing my hands, I looked at the urinals. And above them, there was four urinals in a row. This is the gents, obviously. And then there was the FT and the Telegraph. And I thought, oh, this must be articles about this hotel, restaurant. But then I looked and they were today's. So what they do is they change it every day. So when the gent goes in to have a wee, you don't know where to look. So you just look up and you can have a little read of the Telegraph or the Financial Times.
Oh, so you don't have to look everyone else's willy.
Exactly.
Very clever.
I thought the problem was I couldn't see them anyway because they're quite high. Liam, you would still have a bit of a problem.
I'd have a problem with that.
Especially if they were Braille,
though. If it was Braille, I'd have to take my hands off the job, wouldn't I?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? It starts getting complicated.
Just one hand off the job, wouldn't you? Or do you have to do... It's two hands, isn't it?
I need two, mate.
Yeah.
And also...
The Braille on. Okay, I've got you.
Moving on.
That was good.
So there was a bit... I don't know if any of you saw this, and I thought this was a really interesting bit. Now, it was a sort of bad news, good news. BBC News, 10 o'clock, the day Pistorius was sentenced for 5 years.
Did you say Dave? Dave Pistorius.
No, the Dave Pistorius.
The day. I thought it was a Dave. I thought his name was...
That's so funny. Really?
That's his brother. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the day Pistorius was sentenced, the BBC led with that story. And obviously it was about him being sent to jail. The next story, so this was a sort of bad news, good news, but was the Polish guy where they moved some, was it some cells from his nose and they attached them to his back and it meant that he had some movement so he could start walking again. But it was interesting, so the BBC News led with two disability-related stories. But me being me, I thought, oh, they've got that dodgy one, the one who killed his girlfriend. That's really hard. But look, there's this fella who started to walk again. And I thought, oh, it's sort of bad news, good news.
It balances everything out, you mean?
I don't know.
It's a disability zero.
Was that on prime? That was prime, the big news, the prime
10 o'clock news.
Really?
The thing is, what they're saying with that is saying, look, if only Oscar had had sort of that sort of technological operation to cure him, he would not have gone mental and killed his girlfriend.
Yeah, he doesn't have a spinal cord injury, though, you mean?
What, a comparable operation to cure his comparable
lack of
disability?
Legs. I do think that is what they're saying. They're saying if he wasn't disabled, he would have gone more years.
So, hang on.
This is ridiculous.
So, as our token non-disabled person, I wondered, am I thinking too hard? But I sort of had a bit of Liam and Lara thinking, oh, they're compensating. Would you, if you watch that, Steve, would you see there's a connection or do you think they're completely not connected?
I would have thought there's some kind of connection. I'm surprised that they ran it straight. They ran it straight after the each story, so they didn't have any big block of news in between. Because usually that kind of story is at the end. It used to be at the end of the news thing. This is the good news, isn't it? And
yes.
I don't know if they do that so much now, but yes, I suppose so.
You have reminded me. There's Russell Howard who does a show called Good News.
Yeah,
and it was meant to be an antidote to all the negative stories. Actually, just takes the mickey out of loads of things on his YouTube.
Not very.
And
boring.
Every time there's always this is the good news story, and every time I've watched it.
It's about a disabled person.
It's always about a disabled person.
Seriously?
And they'll go, oh, isn't that great? Isn't that sweet? And
really?
I'm like, oh, stop it.
But does he get humor? Does he try and be funny about it? Or just,
no.
That's just...
Oh, no, no,
that's
no.
That's just the good news.
Yeah.
Disabled people exist.
Well, and they can
anything
get...
about them is good.
It was, the one I just saw was the woman who was surfing. And don't get me wrong, she couldn't surf because of her paralysis or whatever, and so she was on the back of somebody. But it was always a kind of, it's a feel-good story. It's not just a good story.
But about disabilities, nothing?
I don't watch them all.
Yeah.
But the last three, four, five, yeah, absolutely.
But isn't it amazing the way that happens, the way just our very existence as disabled people makes other people happy? It is amazing to have that gift as a disabled person.
Yeah, we make people
feel
good.
Spread the happiness love, literally by our existence.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your moments of the month.
Have you got a funny joke or anecdote?
Yeah, I've got loads of jokes, but I'll give you an anecdote.
You have got lots of jokes. You do stand up.
I do.
Give us an anecdote.
Anecdote. This is an anecdote. This really happened. I went to one of those hotels. And
when you say one of those hotels, you mean a hotel?
Yeah, I went to a hotel.
Okay.
And they were hosting a kind of job fair, let's get the welfare bill down, more disabled people into jobs kind of fairs. So there's every piece of tin pot, cowboy, crackpot organisation there that's robbed thousands, millions of pounds off this unwitting government and got nobody into work. One of them things. I got some coffee and sat down. And I put my coffee cup on its saucer on the chair next to me and then sorted my cane out, you know, folded it up and put it on the floor. A woman came over and said, oh, do you mind if I sit there? I said, yeah, but my coffee. And she goes, oh, would you like your coffee? Yes, please, I'll have my coffee. So I put my hands out, both hands waiting for the coffee and cup and saucer to come into my hands. Nothing happened. Hello? Waiting, nothing happened. And next thing, I feel this kind of solid object bash against my mouth. And then a hot liquid sort of cascading down
my
chin.
God.
Down,
oh,
off
my
the edge,
God.
Right down my shirt and into my crotch. And I said, what were you doing? And she goes, I've just given you your coffee.
Oh, my God.
I didn't mean feed me the... you know. I think I must have gone into sort of some kind of diatribe. That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Whereupon she goes, and then she fled. And this other woman came over and sort of took over and sorted out. Said, oh, sorry, here's a napkin. Your coffee's there. I'll put it down. I'll get you another one. Actually, she's very embarrassed, actually. I think you were very rude to her.
Really? That way around?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've got a friend who is in one of those associations who are trying to get people back to work. And they said that they're really hard because they said they've got people even... They said there's people who are blind who have come out and they're not dressed appropriately. They've got coffee all down them. You know, how are they going to get a job? Yeah. That's fantastic. Now, Lara and Liam, you were both sent an item and we've asked you here to talk about it. So neither of you knew beforehand actually what it was, and we've asked you to record your initial reactions when you first opened the parcel. Let's have a little listen to what Liam thought.
Easy to open, lovely. Branding points already. Ah, an item of jewellery. I don't go in for jewellery. Ah, they look like two tiny batteries. Half the size of a triple A, so perhaps these are quadruple A's. Like a pair of earrings. I love them. Oh, are they meant to come apart? There are two of them. Well, they would be, they're earrings. They feel nice, metallic, possibly expensive.
Thank you very much, Liam. That was a very lovely description. Just to clarify and let you know what it really is, it's a magnetic clasp converter by Gemma Scully Jewellery, and it's a clever magnetic clasp that can be used to convert necklaces and bracelets with lobster or other tricky clasps to an easy magnetic one so they can be pulled on and off a lot more easily. So, Liam, we put that on a bracelet for you now, and these are the two silver bits. They're also a gold magnet if you have a piece of gold. Are you okay trying to put that on? Let's see.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's have a look. Right, using my left wrist. Right, let's see if they can magnetically combine.
Yeah, they should attach together and kind of form a seal.
They've sort of met. They've met and clasped each other. Yeah.
How's it feel?
Feels fine. Yeah.
I was concerned that the magnets might not be strong enough. I mean, is it fairly sturdy?
Okay. Well, let's try. I'll wave my arm around a bit.
And, still on.
They're still on. Yeah. Still on. Yeah. I don't know what it would be like for a thief who wanted to snatch it off and do a smash and grab. Steve, you could be the thief.
It does come off, but then the thief wouldn't really know you've got one of these clasps on, maybe.
Do that once more, because that seemed very easy.
Come off.
Yeah, I kind of sensed there wasn't something quite right.
You pull it off me, there it is.
Pull it off you?
Yeah.
Come here, you.
Yeah, and it does come. I mean, it's a magnet. I mean, it's...
So is it a bit like a clip-on tie that... As soon as someone yanks it, it comes off, but it will stay in place so long as you don't yank it.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think your heavy arm movement is not going to pull it off either. I think it's got to be pulled off.
Right.
Yeah, I think he'll stay on pretty well.
Yes, so Liam's dancing.
Yeah, it's withstanding the jive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
The bit I kind of like is, so you attach, I mean, because I do find them really, really fiddly anyway. Not that I wear a lot of bracelets, but also my necklace. I have to take it off if you get an MRI scan or you get an X-ray or something.
Oh, that would be so easy then.
Absolutely, that would be the joy, because you just flip it on and off. Mine's a real pain, I can't always do it.
Well, but how
often do you have an X-ray and MRI scan?
We're disabled people, we have them quite frequently.
Okay. It's kind of, I hear you.
Well, not all of us, but I have X-rays quite frequently.
But you fly a lot, don't you?
That's true. Yes, you're quite right.
Yeah,
security.
That is so handy to have flying.
As a female, will be slightly stereotyped.
I think that's great. I love that product. It's particularly good for me because I'm not doing that much driving. So that would stay on me.
Nice.
Really easy to get on. Yeah, everyone would be happy. My carer, my husband. They'd love it. They hate the clasps.
Okay. Liam, would you change anything about it?
No, but you just told me something that made me regret it. You'd miss out on those sexy moments when women say, hey, can you go behind and... do up my necklace.
What you're saying is that's a nice moment of putting on a necklace.
Yeah, rendered redundant.
You're right, and it's a very sort of gentlemanly, nice thing to do. It's kind of, you're helping someone dress in it, but in a very lovely way. So the person putting on the necklace is now going to be very independent.
Very independent.
So you go out for the evening and you're slightly
angry
with each
other. You can still
put
it on, it's a bit quicker, that's all.
It's just a bit quicker.
But they wouldn't ask you, would they? Because they can do it themselves.
They do it themselves.
That's the whole point.
No, but they still, if they want that sensual moment, they would ask you, wouldn't they?
Now, cost.
£3.75.
Thank you very much, Steve Best. £3.75? That sounds a bit of a bargain. I want you to rate it out of 10. So, Liam, first, what do you think? Are you giving it points out of 10?
I'd give it 7 out of 10. I'd knock a point, obviously, because of it does come undone a bit easily at times.
You want a slightly stronger magnet?
Perhaps a slightly stronger magnet, yeah.
Yeah, it's a balance between being delicate, I guess, isn't it? And Lara, score?
I think it's really cool. I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10. But I don't think it's going to cost £3.75. Is that true? That's really cheap.
That's good, isn't it?
It's not bad. Is that really how much
they
cost?
And you get the gold one and the silver one as well. In the same package.
I'd 100% get those, definitely.
See, Best?
I'd give it 8, yeah.
And I quite like it too, so I'm an 8 as well. Okay, thank you very much.
That's a successful one. So, Lara, let's have a listen to what Lara thought of her product.
My carer, Cassie, is with me. Say hello.
Hi.
That's Cassie. She's going to be opening the parcel for me. And, right, well, let's get to it. It's quite big and sort of square. It's black, something black peeping out. May take a while. Talk amongst yourselves. Ooh, okay, now, oh, what is this? It's sort of, looks a bit like a loo seat in shape, doesn't it? Well, actually says what it is on it.
Oh, here we go.
It says right what around. It is. It says it's a bag and lap tray in the shape of a loo seat. So let's take it out and have a look. Lots of pictures of people using this, demonstrating you can use it standing up or you can use it sitting down. Very nice. Not a great deal of style gone into this. It is a plastic tray with a beanbag underneath, basically, isn't it? Is that a beanbag?
Yeah.
But it opens, it's got a zip. Open it up. So what can we get in here? If you've got anything horseshoe shaped or loo seat shaped, you could get it in here. My laptop would fit in there, wouldn't it? Or would it not?
I think it would.
There we go. And here's the full description. It's called a Trabasat Curve. The Trabasat Curve is an innovative British design wheelchair tray which functions as a bag and wheelchair lap tray in one. So it can be attached to any type of manual or power wheelchair or hung over the handles of your wheelchair to carry your everyday essentials. So what do you think now, Lara?
Well, it's very sturdy. It does stay in your lap. The description of it being a lap tray is accurate. You can put things inside it, but it's not that big. So maybe there's a bigger one for normal-sized laptops. Mine's a little bit smaller.
So, I mean, it's an everyday essential. So maybe the
lipsticks and stuff.
Yeah.
Makeup.
But you can get an iPad in there, can you?
Yeah, you get an iPad in there. Yeah. It is sturdy. You could put things on top of it. It's just I'm a bit vain for this product, but I think it is a good product for probably a man.
Yes, because I've got a couple of friends who use them, and they sort of just flip it up, and they write their notes and da da da. Is it because so it's a bit black? We look and see. They might have other colours. We couldn't tell. But if it was a bit more, is it the design or is it the colour? It was a bit of both.
It's both. It's just not a. It's not a sort of attractive aesthetic product. And because my wheelchair needs a little bit more customising and I haven't customised it properly yet. But because I always like products such as wheelchairs or any accessories to accessorise me, I would have a problem just because it's so plain and black. And it would make me look boring, I'm not.
We had our mutual friend Shannon Murray on a few weeks back.
Yeah, I love Shannon.
Yeah, we all love Shannon. And but she's maybe the reverse because she says, I want everything black, I want it plain, I want it. So is that a kind of personal preference, do you think, as much? Or are you still saying it's quite utilitarian?
I don't know, but there's also the fact of just, having a tray on your lap with a beanbag underneath it. I don't know makes me feel uncomfortable, but it makes me feel like a TV dinner sort of situation.
Yes.
And it makes me feel a bit sad and lonely.
So it's useful, but not particularly for you, but maybe for someone else.
It's very useful, but I am mainly ornamental. I'm not one for function and practicality.
Good point.
So, I love functional practicality.
Oh, God,
so maybe
you love
it. For me. Yeah.
Yeah. If you were going to change something, you would change it to be a bit more trendy.
Passing
if you were
going to
look wise.
I just wouldn't want I don't want a tray on my lap.
No, fair enough.
But I think, look, Liam's look. It's like it was made for him.
Yeah, it fits perfectly.
Yes.
I've got a similar sort of thing at home, actually. It's a square beanbag with a tray. And it is TV dinners, precisely for TV dinners.
Yeah. There's a little YouTube clip of someone using it, and the bit that I thought was quite interesting. It's a wheelchair-using guy, and he said, I sometimes go to restaurants and go to places, and I can't get my legs under the table. So what I like about this is I can still sit at the table, but I've got my own little table as well. So it depends where you are.
Oh, that's sweet.
So with the beanbag, it's pretty sturdy, though. I mean, it will...
Oh, it's definitely functional. That will stay on your lap. It is a lap tray, and you can put a laptop in it.
What you are illustrating, Liam, is these products are meant for sort of everybody. Sometimes they're great for disabled people, but so this isn't that you would need this because of your disability. You just think this is a great practical product for which you would use.
Yeah, I think it has mainstream appeal.
But would you pay £39.95 for it?
No.
Okay.
With anyone? Is that its price?
That's the price, £39.95, yeah. And so to rate it out of 10, Lara, because it was your product, out of 10.
Well, to do what it actually says, it does do what it says. So you 7 for the product, but it's just I wouldn't use
not
it.
Not for you, but yeah. Yeah.
7 7 for your common or garden disabled person.
Liam O'Carroll.
I'd give it 8 because it's got the additional bag space for storage.
Sminty Minty.
I would have gone 7, but because it's called Traversack, which is travelling back sack all in one but condensed, I'll give it 8.
I'd give it 7.
So totting up the scores by 0.5 a point, both scored very well, but the magnetic clasp converter just comes out ahead by 0.5 a point. So there we are.
Well done.
Okay, so we've reviewed both the products. Just kind of out of curiosity, do you individually have gadgets of your own, the sort of thing that you would always use, the thing that you love to bits? So, I mean, Liam, is there something that is your favourite gadget?
There is, yes. It's a thing called a Victor Reader Stream. It's a kind of MP3 player, but it has a voice which talks you through the menus. So you can make notes like you would with any dictaphone, or you can play music, listen to audio stuff.
So how did that work again? Sorry, I didn't quite get that. How does it work?
Basically, there's a voice that tells you what you've done. So every button you press, it'll tell you.
Okay.
It'll tell you where you are, what track you're on, what the functions are, which application you're in, all that sort of thing.
So you'd give that 10 out of 10?
Yeah, I'd give this 10 out of 10.
There we go.
I'm holding it up, the Victor Reader Stream.
And how much does something like that cost you?
Don't know, I've got access to work pay for it.
So it's the size of a pack of playing cards, essentially.
Yeah.
Poker size.
And it's got a little keypad on it, like a phone keypad sort of thing. Various buttons to navigate from different applications. So there's a notes section, a music section, audio books.
But it's that audio menu, much better to navigate.
Yeah, it tells you everything. It tells you where you are and where you're going and where you've been.
And what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Laura, is there one thing that you're like, this is what I swear by, this is the thing that's really useful?
My husband.
Okay.
He really helps me do loads and loads and loads of things. And he's like, you know, 1,000 apps in one.
He is also your husband, but something that somebody else, obviously other people can get other husbands, but is there something that people could get readily?
No, I don't really, you know what, actually, we did find a gadget recently, which was quite fascinating. My husband does complain a lot about when I ask him for something, when he's like lying down on the couch and I ask him as soon as he lies down, like, can I have some water? And he's like, oh God. And we have a TV, which is actually just connected to our computer, and we don't have remote control, but we found that you can get an infrared remote control for your computer, which acts as a remote control for your TV if it's hooked up to your TV.
Nice.
And there's no software. You just plug it in and then you lie down and you've got a remote control and you can use your computer from lying down. I mean, that is amazing.
Have you just lost the original remote control for your TV?
No, we don't have TV because we are principally against TV, but we have a screen.
Got you. So you just
and it's hooked up to our computer. Yeah. And every time we wanted to change the channel or do some streaming or whatever, he'd have to get up and change on the computer.
Nice.
But now we can just lie there, yeah, and we can surf away like normal people.
How many would you score that out of 10?
25.
Oh, very good.
So thank you again to our guests, Laura Masters and Liam O'Carroll. Before you go, what are you up to right now, Liam?
Just doing a bit of filming for ITV, a programme called Off Their Rockers, disability version of. We're filming that at the moment at various secret locations.
Do we know when that's coming out, Liam?
Sometime in 2015.
Okay.
That narrows it down, isn't it?
A secret as well.
Is it called Off Their Rockers Disability?
They do need suggestions for a title.
Okay.
For a title, yeah.
I tried to be on that programme.
Did you?
But they said I was too well known.
Oh, really? Oh, because it's
hidden
camera stuff.
They obviously remember 10 years ago.
Hidden camera stuff, exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be called Off Their Casting.
And Lara?
Building a house.
Yes, you were building
a
swimming
pool.
Okay.
I'm building a house and I'm writing a blog about it because even though I say I'm building the house, obviously my husband is mainly building it and I'm mainly watching.
Thank you to you both. Thanks for being such fantastic guests. Thank you, Lara. Thank you, Liam.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, competition time.
Indeed, and our very popular competition. Let's hope we get lots of entries. We're going to offer each of today's items as its own prize. So to win, all you've got to do is drop us an email or a text message or even Twitter, and we'll put all of the entries into a hat and draw out a winner. Do state if you'd rather the Trabersac curve or the magnetic clasp converter.
All the information is on our website, abnormallyfunnypeople.com, or leave us a voicemail or send a text on 07756 190 561.
Unfortunately, at this point, we can only send the prizes to people in the UK, but thank you for listening, all our international listeners. Our closing date for this month is 1st of December.
And the transcript of this podcast will be on our website too.
Thank you, as always, to Really Useful Stuff, who supplied the items, and to all their suppliers who are offering their products up for review. You can check out what they do via their website. It's reallyusefulstuff.co.
And again, thank you to our guests and, of course, our producer, Anne.
Thank you, all of you, for listening.